In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I think one of the elements of the Holy Gospels is recording, of course, the teachings of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, because these very teachings and the example of our Savior and the works that he worked, his miracles and his sufferings and his passion, literally were the means whereby the apostles were catechized. They were taught. And what's fascinating is actually one verse before this gospel begins, we see, it says, Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against thee and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Now what's fascinating about this is that Peter is speaking from the Jewish mentality, not yet made Christian. And so there was this whole economy in the law that basically was one thing is balanced out by another, and that is the way the justice of God is fulfilled. So what our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ does is he wants to teach Peter, and through Peter, the rest of the apostles, a higher standard. In fact, an infinitely higher standard. And so the Savior gives us this parable. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And we can see right away that the 70 times 7 is not actually a specific number. It's such a large number that it's really infinitely. You will forever and always forgive sins, over and over again. And then he says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. So we have this very, very clear and very harsh statement. However, the servant fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. So here we have the new law, the law of forgiveness being pronounced. And of course, what's fascinating is what happens immediately is that he who was forgiven is unable to forgive. And then the servant went out and found one of the fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Which is, of course, pennies compared to the talents. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. For this fellow servant fell down at his So this fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. And of course, what's so fascinating is the very debt that this person was forgiven, he now, the punishment he was forgiven and then released from, he now lays upon one of his own servants and with great wrath. So when the fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from your heart does not forgive his brother, his transgressions. And this, of course, this last statement, is that we are to forgive our brothers and sisters in all from the very depths of our hearts. And this is the new law. This is the law of compassion that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ came to give to us. And it raises, I think, this gospel raises a lot of questions, because if we want to make it something that belongs to us, we have to look within ourselves. And we have to examine ourselves. And we have to pray. We have to pray that God will disclose to us those things which we have not forgiven. And it's very complicated, because, you know, a lot of things that may have happened to us, many things that may have happened to us, may have been profoundly unjust. I mean, truly unjust. And so this is a very difficult problem, because, but these things that were done to me were so unjust, and how do I forgive? How do I forgive? And I think what has to happen is we have to look a little further into the life and the mind of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and realize that we are the ones, as it were, who are enslaved by those things that may have been unjust, and the circumstances we have that may be so hurtful to us. We're the ones that are enslaved. And what our Savior is doing is he's offering us the road to freedom. And yet again, how? How can one, a person in the flesh, with pride and passion and weakness, and all such a sense of hurt and betrayal, how can I forgive? Which forgive means to let go of, to forgive. How can I do this? And I think this, of course, is the question. How can I do this? And the Church, you know, in its love and mercy, has given us the means. And it's not a formula. It's a way of life. And that means is literally life in Christ. So that we can be transformed. And one of the beauty of the Orthodox Church is it really is life in Christ. And if you start in the calendar and you look, the new year begins in September on the old calendar, and 13 days from now. And you look and you see the feasts that come along. And of course, the exaltation of the cross. And then we have Nativity, and then we have Theophany. And so, and these feasts. And what when you look at what the feasts, if you put them line, right on one line, you go and look at them. These feasts are the most important events of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ's example and teaching. These events. So what's happening is that the Church is not only preaching the Word of God, but the Church is the living embodiment of the Word of God and the life of Christ. And so that which is impossible to us, to forgive all the wrongs and all the hurts and all of the... I know. I mean, we all have. But I don't say it truly. From my own past and from my own circumstances, my own sins and so on. And I understand. And it is. If a person came up to you and said, "Now you must forgive all these things, and you must do it right now, or you can't be saved," I think we would all, if we really had sympathy and compassion and emotion, we would be paralyzed with fear. Because we know we can't. We cannot do it instantly. Oh, the beloved Church. That the Church unfolds all the mysteries. And really, the culmination of the mysteries is the sufferings, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, where all things, as it were, are recreated and made new. And all the other feasts lead to this. And of course, then after we are recreated in the image and likeness of God through his death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection, God willing that we die with him on the cross and are buried, that all the darkness of our past is buried, and we rise with him, that we can be remade new. And what's also of the compassion of our Savior, he knows that we can only make a little progress at a time. We're not going to just go from here to way down there in one sequence, one cycle of the Holy Church's life, of the life of Christ. And he gives us 70, right? But God willing, we'll have more than 70. But why? Because we have to do this. And we have to then reflect upon it again, and we do it. And it's almost as though each time the plow, the point of the plow, the plow opens our hearts. Each time it goes deeper. And each year we have a greater understanding and realization, not so much of who we are and what we have not forgiven, but the mercies of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. For he is eternally merciful. And he loves each of us completely and totally. The only thing that stands between his love and us is our inability to receive his love. Our pride, our fear, our self-consuming, the passions of the life, of this life. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, on this day where we learn about forgiveness, we must commit ourselves to life in Christ and understand that step by step, each feast day, and each cycle of the feasts of the Holy Church, our understanding and our healing will become deeper. It's interesting, I think, you know, that it's not only does it take time because it's of us, but it takes time because we could not endure the light of Christ and its fullness that we would take to uproot all of our sinfulness and transform us. We could not, it would literally kill us. And there's many images, you know, of in the Old Testament particularly, where there was this fear of coming into the presence of God because people feared that it would kill them. And they're actually in the Gospel, particularly the Gospel of St. John, they call them I Am sayings. And when the Savior says, I am the resurrection of life, apostles fall down. And then when he was transfigured, they fell down. Why? Because they could only receive the grace as each one could endure. It says in the Troparion, as each one could endure. Because the mercies of God and the power of God are so great that that which creates everything and renews everything has to be received in humility and has to be received in faith and has to be received in due time. We can only take, as it were, so much of the radiation therapy each and every day and each and every week and each and every year. And so, what the end of it all is, glory to God that we are in the church and that we are in the living reality of the life of Christ, which transforms us and makes us new so that we can become, he says, like him. And we can't even imagine that we would become God. But he knows. And if we continue in his presence and his grace, he will work that out to our wonder and beyond our comprehension. And may we dedicate our lives each and every day, to his mercy and to his love and to his forgiveness. And may we practice forgiving others. I'll tell you just one last thing. Thinking about this gospel today, I remembered a sin. I mean, a kind of grudge I had about someone, and it just came up, and I was struck by it because I so carefully buried it that I would think from time to time, you know, a few negative things about what had happened in the past, but I didn't really see it, and I hope I saw it last night and tomorrow, this morning. But if I didn't fully see it, I saw some more of what I. But I held a grudge. And of course, what does that do? The enigma is that it separates us from God, because God doesn't hold grudges. All he wants is our faith and our love and our repentance. He wants humility. He wants to embrace us. And you think of it. I mean, if you really understand, I mean, holding a grudge, I mean, my gosh, this is going to separate me from God. I mean, this is serious. I mean, and then, you know, of course, we can see it, then we have to pray, Lord, I mean, remove this, please, take it away from me, that I can know you more perfectly, more fully. And so, forgiveness. We must exercise the virtue of forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit.